Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Grace Anglade, your co-host for Unseen Realms, and we should have Jennifer online. Yes, I can hear you. Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you, yes.
We have one caller. Do you want to take her right now?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll take it now.
Okay, it's 917. Hi, how can we help you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, 917? Your name is
yes.
What?
Hey, how you doing? Tim.
Hi.
Tim from New York.
Tim, hi, Tim. Hi, from New York. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm calling. I listened to a little bit about the Akashic Record readings. I was wondering how one could possibly help me. I'm trying to figure out direction in my life, career, job-wise, and I was just wondering if I could utilize some help from the other side. I've been trying to do a little meditation at night, 10 minutes, try to get some messages from my guides, maybe.
Okay, and what are, for career? All right, well, she must be somewhere. Okay, what's your, what kind of information are you getting from your guides? I mean, what direction are you going?
Well, I'm not getting anything currently.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to set some intentions. I really don't remember dreams, but since I've been trying to do a little bit intention setting the night before I go to sleep, and also I don't sleep much, so I've been trying to get adequate amounts of rest. So I've been getting a few little just dreams. I'm remembering a few little, they don't make any sense, just regular dreams, but is that how it works? I'm just trying to find out if I'm on the right path of trying to tap in, per se.
Okay, what's your birthday? Because I'm more, Jen's more the Akashic Records reader, I'm more the numerologist.
Oh, well, Mom, I am May 30th, 1974.
Okay, May 30th. Okay, 1974. All right. And 5'8". I have a question to ask you. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
The only thing I ever wanted to be was an actor. I wanted to act.
The only okay, the only thing you ever wanted to be was an actor.
When I was a kid, yes, I wanted to be an actor. I like telling stories. I have a good imagination. It just didn't work out. I was kind of dissuaded from it. And then you get older, you get into life, try school, try a job, and then next thing you know, you're middle age.
Okay, well, I can tell you right now that 30, that you're born on the 30th, which means that you pretty much 3 is the number of the comedian, the actor. that is, you know, that is the creative number right there. And plus the 0 makes it lucky. So, yeah, I would say that you're probably on the right path right there. You're a Gemini, so that works in your favor. What kind of acting were you going for?
None really. I did a few modeling jobs. I went for a couple of the commercials. It didn't really go anywhere, and then life just took a bunch of different turns, so I just put that away. I actually don't even have that ambition, though. I have the kind of storytelling ambition. All I basically do is tell funny stories on Facebook all day. So I still have the comedic vibe, just on a personal level, just not professionally wise.
All right. Okay. Let me pull up some cards for you. Okay.
Sure.
Is my co-host on there, Jen?
Yeah, I am. I was just getting some information. One of the things I see a lot of books around you. I see a lot of books. I see, kind of like a bookstore, you know, like the Harvard bookstore. I see... I don't know if that means that you're working at a bookstore or if you're, you know, working at a university or a college, but I feel like that would be a really good fit for you, working around, like, other creative types. You're not going to be happy sitting in a cubicle.
Okay? I am miserable.
It's not going to work for you. A cubicle world would be hell. I mean, you would literally want to shoot yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty much my 9-to-5 currently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I've done it
so I can relate. But I just want to say this real quick. You've got to have, I totally agree with Grace. I was getting that you were a bard in a past life. Do you know what a bard is?
I do not.
Okay. A bard, especially like in the Celtic traditions and so forth in Ireland and England, a bard was a person that traveled on horseback, usually from town to town, and they would do like a minstrel show for people. Like they would do like readings, poetry, you know, all different kinds of things. And usually a bard would travel alone or sometimes, you know, with a friend or whatever. But that's in your blood. I mean, you've got a lot of really creative energy. writing, you know, being around books and stuff like that. I can see you working in a university.
I see, and this.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I kind of get that you're going to be doing something with the educational system. It looks like you're going to be speaking out, using your humor to kind of change the educational system. This is what this all this information is coming in on the way kids. Do you have kids? Did I hear kids back there?
I have a foster's son, a 6-year-old foster's son.
Yeah, I have a feeling that you're going to be stepping into education and trying to looking at this whole thing and going, this is not the way it's supposed to be done. And you're going to be speaking, you might go back to school and things like that and start looking at a way to, because I get university like Jen does, but I get also speaker, and you're going to have a lot of support of the angels behind you in this case. I also see you writing children's books. I see you going through and, you know, taking a stab at writing, taking it and writing children's books and stuff like that. I mean, I think she's right on with that education thing. Have you thought about going to the university?
I kind of dropped out of college 3 separate times. So as I'm stumbling along in my career, I have kind of thought about going back to school, just wasn't sure for what. And it's kind of like twofold. I have to obviously support myself with a 9-to-5. While doing so, but it's just I wasn't really sure what I should be doing in school, but I'm contemplating it.
See, I see you working at a school, working at a university, like even if you worked in the bookstore or something like that, it kind of gets your foot in the door, and also it kind of, you know, they'll help you with financial aid and stuff. But I see you being around other like-minded people, like creative types, academic types, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, with the whole Bard, so the Bard, one thing I wanted to mention about this, there was a civilization called Avalon, and this was a civilization that existed many thousands of years ago. But Avalon was in, it was basically like King Arthur, Glastonbury, that area. And the Bard was a very important part of that civilization, because the Bard was the one that was kind of like the oral tradition type of person. You know, they would carry the stories around, and they would continue the traditions of the culture. And a lot of times they would, you know, like the famous bard, you know, of Shakespeare and so forth. So you have a really strong connection to that lifetime of the bard was a professional storyteller. Also a music composer, and a verse maker. So you have a lot of very strong gifts in that area of speaking.
Okay. Gotcha.
Also, you've got I guess from age 29 to 38, everything just kind of happened. I mean, you really didn't know where to put your feet down. Everything just came at you at one time.
Pretty accurate.
Okay. Well, that's
kind of
numerology.
Yeah, definitely accurate.
Yeah, this is very. This is numerology that's showing me this.
Okay.
You know, it was just. I mean, this isn't. You know, I'm coming out of woo. No, it's numbers. And pretty much now you can actually. You're going to be making your own way until you're age 47. How old are you now?
I'll be 43 in May.
Okay, so pretty much now, you'll be making your own way. And I do see you as a speaker. They said, they said you're a speaker, you're supported by the angels with light and love. I think it's going to be, I see you in an educational place, just kind of looking at the whole thing saying, yeah, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I mean, just kind of, and using humor to get people to see your viewpoint. But that was the image I got right away.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing that just came in for you, your name is Jim, correct? Jim?
Tim. T-I-M, Tim.
Oh, Tim, I'm sorry. My fault.
No
my
problem.
Hearing's bad.
Not a problem.
Tim, the other thing I saw coming in was they showed me a vision of you, like, reading books at a library to children, reading books.
Okay.
Like, you can do that. You can volunteer to read books to children. It's such a cool thing to get way to get back. And it would kind of just get you in that energy and that flow of, because you're an entertainer. You're actually a natural. But, you know, that's just something I wanted to throw out there. You wouldn't get paid for that right off the bat, but, I mean, it's something that will get you in that flow and that energy. And then, of course, energy builds the more you do it, like attracts like.
And the thing about being born the 30th is you've got that 3 energy, which kind of means you're a big kid yourself. I mean, that 3
I
energy
am
is
indeed.
Just, that is a big kid yourself. So once you get into that energy of there's some inner child work that needs to be done. You're 16-7 life path, so usually that meant you were either your parents were divorced or you've lost a parent early or you were, kind of single parent it through. You have a lot of intuition, but that inner child work needs to be dealt with now. Don't wait for it. I would do it now. Get somebody to work on that with you and to get through that, because that's going to really enhance your gifts once you can get over that.
Gotcha.
Okay. 16-7. I've got a lot of 16s in my family. It was an abusive love in a past life. And, you know, normally when you have a 16-7 life path, you're usually growing up with only one parent, one or the other parent, or there's a loss. And after that loss happens, then you're kind of able to move forward.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks. You guys gave me some great information. I really appreciate your time.
All right.
Well,
thanks, Tim.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Take
God
care.
Bless. Okay.
All right. He's going out. Okay. Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. I just planted some pots and for Easter, and I'm in a really good mood. Very happy.
All right.
How about you?
Okay. Good. Really good. Really good. Hi. I've got some gardening done, and I'm really happy and really relaxed. Okay. So we are going to be talking this week about Jesus, the Ascendant Master and the Teacher. And I'm going to let you start. Are you ready to start?
Sure. Okay. So Jesus, also known as Yeshua, was, of course, one of the most famous Ascended Masters, other than Buddha. Buddha's famous too. There's been many others, probably too many to even say right now. But today we're focusing on Jesus the Christ, also known as Yeshua. Now, Jesus was the ascended master in charge of what was called the Piscean Age. And the Piscean Age was, of course, the last age before the current age, which is now the Aquarian Age. And he came down into human form with his twin flame, Mary Magdalene, to bring in what was called the archetype of the Christ consciousness. Now, we've said this before on other shows, but just to be clear, the Christ consciousness is not just about Jesus. It's actually universal energy that is associated with all beings of divine light. It's called the Christed consciousness. And we all carry it, really, to some degree in our bodies. And when Jesus the Christ came in, the earth was in what was called a very dark time in history. And as we know, we've had other ascended masters come in during very dark times in history, specifically the Black Plague era and so forth. So saying that, when Jesus came in, he knew that he had a big soul mission. Even as a child, there's stories of him, bringing back birds to life and stuff like that. So I believe Jesus was born enlightened. he was already born that way, and so was Mary Magdalene. Now, I am a Christian. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, and you know, I wanted to be a missionary when I was in my 20s. So I'm very devoted to Jesus. But I will say one thing. As my spiritual path has grown, and as my knowledge of the universe, of the Divine Mother and Father has grown, I do believe that some of the things that Jesus said were taken out of context. And I just want to put that out on the table.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll say that because Jesus was all about compassion and love, okay? I don't believe Jesus thought we were sinners. I think Jesus knew that mankind had gone down a path that was not of love and life. I think, but the word sinner really doesn't resonate with me anymore. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I spent some time. I'm not as well prepared as I should be. It was a beautiful day outside, but I did go through today, and I did go through and I looked at a couple articles, and usually you'll hear me read off articles, and I'm not going to do it today. And they talked about the time Jesus was born into. It was during the time of the Romans. Now, you knew with the Romans, there was a lot of comings and goings and things like that. Herod was the, I guess, the king at the time or the ruler at the time. And also you had the Jewish leaders themselves. It was a patriarch society. You know, this is an article I took off, the patriarch society. So with the patriarchal society, the man owned everything. The women owned nothing. So Jesus went ahead and he pulled women in as his Mary Magdalene. And I do think Jesus was married because they called him rabbi. And I know you cannot be called rabbi at that time if you were not married. He had Mary, he had Margaret, the woman who washed his feet. He had different people that were part of his disciples. Also, it was a time where there was purity. I mean, everybody was into this concept of purity, which meant you couldn't touch anybody that was bloody, you couldn't touch anybody that was a tax collector, you couldn't touch anybody that was, you know, that were considered impure. And all of those people he pulled into his circle. He was very much and this is what I read. I mean, I'm not, you know, there were some really good things on the Bible. I'm not the Bible on the internet about the political climate of what was going on at the time. And Jesus transcended what was going on at the time. He did not do it through marching against it. He did not do it through blowing things up. He didn't do any of that. He just included people. I mean, he just included all types of people into his entourage. And then at the time, he taught through stories because, you know, you're talking about people that probably didn't have a lot of education at the time. So he taught through stories that were very easy to understand. He taught through one-liners. You know, this is some of the other things I picked up today. He taught through one-liners. And then he taught through his miracles. I mean, that was the most thing, taught through his miracles. And I do believe that when he was put on the cross and he died, that it was basically to say that this body isn't going to last. He was trying to transcend death. He was not trying to. He transcended death, and that's what he was trying to teach. Because they put him up, the Jews put him up, not the Jews, but the prophecies had said that he was going to be a king. And they were looking for a powerful king to come in at the time and help them out.
Yeah.
And he came in he didn't come in as a powerful person. His power came through who he was. I mean, that's how his power came through. He didn't try to overthrow the Romans, which became, you know, which people were waiting for that. No, he just came in to say that power comes through love. It doesn't come through force.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I just watched The Passion again, the movie The Passion. to prepare for the show. And one of the things that I noticed was when King Herod said to him, well, all you have to do is say that you're the king and I'll let you go. And he wouldn't do it. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. And he said in a channeling by Marilyn Harper, who is amazing, by the way. You can look her up online. Marilyn Harper, in her channeling of Jesus, Jesus said, I knew that I had to be crucified and tortured so that you would remember who I was. That was all for. And they said that in the Bible, too. Jesus knew he was going to die. He knew that he was serving that purpose so that God could build the new temple, right? Because after Jesus was crucified, there was a huge earthquake and the temple was destroyed, and God built the new temple. And that was the whole, and the resurrection of Jesus was all because of the symbology of starting anew, the resurrection, the new chance for humanity, to be enlightened,
It says at the moment.
It's pretty powerful.
At the moment of the it says immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to many people. Now, I didn't get that. I didn't hear that. And when the centurion and those with him regarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God.
Yes, and they alluded to that in the Passion movie, that the rabbi had this really horrible look on his face and goes, oh, boy.
Right.
He realized that, oh, boy, we made a big mistake here. But understand that Jesus, the Christ, if you look at some of the Bible passages, they were actually out to get him before he was crucified, a couple of years before. They were watching him. They knew what he was doing. And he was speaking in parables, and they were saying that he was encrypting his messages because, they were out to get him because basically he was teaching to people that you are the divine light inside yourself. You are God and I am God. And it wasn't just, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. But he also said, and you are the way, the truth, and the light.
Yes.
You are the truth, and the light.
And he was also teaching about metaphysical principles, too, because he was teaching about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if you, and we've learned now, in all that we've learned, if you don't forgive somebody, you automatically cord yourself to that person. Which means that, you can send them as much anger as you want. They send you as much anger as you want, but the two of you aren't going anywhere until you drop the cords, which means forgiveness. You don't have to like what they did, but you have to forgive them to be able to move on. And he talked about forgiveness, and he also talked, and I want to talk about something interesting here. I'm taking this class with Archangel Raphael right now. It's called Expressing Your Angelic Self. And she talks about, how no eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and all that stuff. Well, she talks about that we're going to be working and we're going to raise the energies high enough that we can go in and places that have really low energy, we're going to pull it up. Because apparently you can't pull, if you're running the same vibration as somebody else, you can't pull their vibration up. So as a group, you have to raise your vibrations in order to raise up the vibrations vibrations of those things that you're trying to heal. So if you're angry about things, if he'd gotten the people all riled up against the Romans, if he'd gotten the people all riled up against the Pharisees, he would not have been able to raise the vibrations, because immediately that would have brought the vibrations down. So what he was teaching was love. Love, and Archangel Raphael has gone through this again and again and again. Love is the thing that will change everything. Going in and finding love. And it doesn't mean that you have to love everybody else and not yourself. I mean, if people are making a lot of demands on your time because you're a healer, because you're a reader, this and that. No, you're supposed to kind of love yourself first here. But the ideal is not to fall into anger. It's not to fall into hate. The ideal is to keep that vibration of love up. And that's what he kept teaching, was you can change things through love. It's not going to be through exclusion. Yes. It's going to be through unity and love.
And unconditional love, especially.
Right.
Which is really, really hard for humans to grasp that concept. But unconditional love means that when you let me give you an example of unconditional love. You give somebody something and you expect nothing in return. You really don't. You know, you see a beggar on the street and you give them $5 and you walk away and you think to yourself, oh, they're just going to go buy alcohol with that. Well, that's not unconditional love. You have to detach from the outcome. That is unconditional love. You have to totally detach from the outcome. And that's something that Jesus has said to me. And another interesting thing that's coming in right now, because I open up Jesus' record, so he's here with us right now, is he's showing me Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer was an amazing ascended master. And one of the things that he talked about was intention, you know. And that's one of the most powerful speeches I've ever seen. It was on PBS, and it was about intention. And I think you can probably get it on YouTube. But Wayne Dyer said, when you do something for someone, look at your intention. Why are you actually doing it? When you say something to someone, why are you saying what you're saying? Are you saying it because you're trying to help them? Are you saying it because you're manipulating them? No. Are you saying it because you're, excuse my French, blowing smoke up their ass, which doesn't help anyone? Why are you saying the things that you say to people? And you have to really look at that intention, and you have to, you know, kind of analyze yourself and say, am I doing that because it's coming from my heart? Because I love that person, you know? Is my intent pure? Because it's not what you do, it's why you do it. And that's the same thing that Jesus was trying to teach us, you know?
Right, right.
You reap what you sow.
So you opened up the records before. Do you have a channeling from Jesus?
I do. I have some information.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell that?
Yeah, I'm waiting. I've been, you know.
Okay. Well, I didn't get through the whole thing, but he got me started, and I'm going to keep going with it. Okay. So first of all, he calls you, the people on this call, he calls you the beautiful children of God, the children of light, the Elohim. And that's really important, because he's calling you the Elohim. Now, Elohim in Hebrew means of God. So, you know, Jesus is trying, again, to get the point through here to people that you are as much God as he is. We're all God. We all have that divine spark. We are all a vessel of light. All of us are. And he says, he wanted to talk a little bit. He said, Jennifer wishes to ask me questions about my life, especially those years in my mid to late 20s. Mary Magdalene and I traveled with a few close friends and family members to various countries to learn about different spiritual traditions, to study with the other masters of the time. So this is important. Jesus, he was our Savior in the fact that he brought the Christ and light to the planet. But he also was a teacher. And he's also acknowledging here that there were other teachers on the planet at the time. Okay? Now,
right.
He and Mary Magdalene sought out these teachers. And they went to three countries, but the ones he wanted to talk about was Egypt and India. Now, this is very interesting because he wanted to say here that he said it's not just about the father, it's also about the mother. And see, this is a point he's making in his channel. He's saying, we went to Egypt first. Mary and I attended the temple of Isis, the temple of our beloved divine mother. We studied there with the divine feminine high priestesses for approximately 1 year. We learned all the beautiful symbols and were initiated with the energies of our divine mother. So I wanted to mention this. He is acknowledging the divine feminine. Now, they didn't do this in the Bible, and this is my problem with some of the Bible. They left out the Gospel of Mary Magdalene altogether from the Bible.
Right, right. And that's
and of course,
in the,
they called her a whore. They called her a whore, which is totally not true.
Untrue.
And it's not true. And,
right.
You know, and it's like just in the Da Vinci Code, you know, in the Last Supper, they show Jesus and Mary, you know, sitting next to each other with the V in the middle, you know. That was Leonardo da Vinci trying to tell everyone, hey, this is the big conspiracy theory, okay?
Right.
Mary Magdalene was,
right.
She was just as important to the church at that time. She was his number one disciple. Okay.
Right.
Now, they also had children, and I wanted to mention this. I was told there are three children. Sarah was the oldest, S-A-R-A-H, Benjamin, and Nicholas. There were three children. Now, after Jesus was crucified, I mean, I'm going ahead in time a little bit here, but after they went to India and they studied with the yogis, the sons of Shiva is what he's saying. They studied with the sons of Shiva. The Babaji lineage is where they studied. They went to a cave called the Christ Cave, and my friends have actually been there in India to it, and it says amazing energy. Jesus meditated in the cave with Babaji and the lineage of Shiva,
right?
The yogis. So it's like he did the masculine in India, and he did the feminine in Egypt. See,
yep.
There's always a balance with Jesus, and he understands the balance. You can't just have the masculine without the feminine.
Right.
They also went to England. And now you're probably asking, how did Jesus afford all this? He was a carpenter, as we know. He had no money. He was poor. Well, it's because his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, was
very, very
wealthy. He had an import-export business. And he had a fleet of ships. And he paid for all of it because he knew Jesus had this divine mission. He knew. So anyway, after Jesus was crucified, Mary Magdalene and the children and the close family and friends left in the middle of the night on a ship. And they went, they stopped in, Libya. Along the way, and they ended up in Saint-Marie-du-Mer, which is in France, on the southern coast of France. And then there's a chapel there called Rennes-le-Château.
Rennes-le-Château
is Mary Magdalene's chapel in France, because you live in France, you know this. And
yep.
Then they became what's called the Cathars. the Cathars were the Magdalens. So anyway, that's the real story. That's the truth. I swear on my soul, it's true.
Well, then he was trying to tell me this years ago, because I had a very, very rough night one night, very, very rough night. And I had a dream, and Jesus came by in a boat and picked me up and threw me, you know, not threw me, asked me to, they kind of pulled me into the boat. I don't want to say threw me in. And he just said, just follow me. He said, and this was an amazing period in my time, life. I had met my husband, Michelle, who was French. I think it was probably 1.5 months before meeting him. And in the dream, we're on the boat, and he's like, just look, he said, just follow me. Anyway, I'm up, and I can see, now the time I was living in Washington, D.C., and I'm on the Mediterranean coast, and I'm sure it's the Mediterranean coast, and I realize now it was France, and I'm looking out over to the Mediterranean, and I think I met my husband like a month later, and then, you know, we got married, and yes, I'm here now, and I've been to the Mediterranean, and now I'm like, oh, is that what you were trying to tell me? And then
yeah.
I got here. I was going through a lot of church because I, you know, and I just lost it. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. This doesn't feel right. And he's like, he kept saying, just follow me. But it didn't seem like it was through church I was supposed to be following. So I left for a while, and I went and I did Reiki, and I did this and I did that. And I did. And it's kind of like after I've learned everything, after I know what I know now, and I still don't know everything, then now I'm back into church again, but I'm looking at it with different eyes. I know what to accept, what not to accept. I understand that because what we're learning in Archangel Raphael's class is that we're learning about, we have chambers in our heart. And apparently if you drop down into your heart, it'll give you all the answers you need to know are in the heart. And then there's a chamber outside that's kind of a group consciousness, a group heart. And then there's another chamber outside of that was kind of humanity consciousness, the humanity heart. And I can see where church provides that group consciousness thing. I mean, it kind of gets all people together. And no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, for you know, coming together, you know, you're not there as a job because you don't all have the same mindset. No, you're seeing people from all different places. And that's kind of what Jesus was teaching. And you're working together and you're in fellowship and you're, you know, supporting each other. So I'm not sure how far the Catholic Church has gone in you know, making its stories up. But there's a part of that that's true. You just got to figure out which part. And But what you are supported in is that group heart. And you can gain a lot of energy from the group heart thing and the idea that you're with people that are from accepted. You know, when you're in church, you're just accepted for who you are. It's not about how much money you have. And it's not about the color of skin. It's not about anything. No. It's just you're all there in celebration and worship.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, a lot of New Agers, they totally slam religion, and I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do either, because a lot of people need that structure of religion. You know, they need that support system, and I think that's really good for people. I think the rhetoric is what needs to shift, and I feel like it is shifting. Slowly but surely, the rhetoric is shifting.
Right.
No.
We have,
you know, this crap about gay people and all this stuff. I mean, you know, people quoting the Bible, and it's just like, really? I mean, think about it this way. Who wrote the Bible? It was humans. It wasn't God. It was humans.
And it wasn't during the period. It was afterwards.
They were interpreting information from that period of time.
Right.
In that culture, in that history period of time. And they didn't want men to be gay because they didn't have as many people then, or women to be gay. They didn't have that many people, and they wanted us to procreate. So they didn't want people to be gay. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a reason behind all of it. So anyway, you know, there's things that just don't resonate.
It just you know, we have a caller from 202. Can we take it?
Yeah, let's take it.
Hi, you're on Unseen Realms. I see you've been waiting for a while. Thank you. Who are we talking to tonight?
Not a problem. My name is Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how you doing, Jennifer? How you doing, Grace?
This is Vanessa, my friend Vanessa Grace.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. And, wow, you guys have covered a lot of ground. I'm like, where do I even start? One of the things that I would like to start with is that I had this impression, you know, how some people talk about the Bible that is inspired by the Holy Spirit and things like that. But, you know, they said that it's like been written over the course of like 1,000 or more years. And what I was thinking was, is that someone had to manage that project the whole time. So who would have that have been but the Vatican itself? And I've had this impression that there was like these records that are actually stored at the Vatican of like what actually went down back then, you know.
Well,
and it makes
it was,
sense to me that that they would have you know, said, well, maybe this should have been, maybe it should be a little bit like this rather than like that, you know. And who's going to go, you know, against the people in the church?
I
That's
think
pretty
it
dangerous.
Was council. The Council of Nicaea in 320 AD,
yeah.
What I remember, what I think that that's how it went. They decided which books went in the Bible. And then after that, there's the Gnostic Gospels, or the, you know, then you find the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, you find the Gospel of Jesus and Thomas. But yeah, they did decide what went into the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of other Gospels
out there. Yeah, I mean, not to get too conspiracy theorist, but it makes sense that there would still be, you know, that kind of push from the Vatican even today to back up what's in the Bible, because, you know, they put stuff out there that wasn't really the whole deal, that wasn't everything that was meant to be expressed. I mean, this is actually the first time I've ever heard the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Well, yeah, it's it's called the Other Bible. It's on Amazon. It's called The Other Bible, and you'll find it's a
okay.
huge book. And another one is Eileen Pagelis, P-A-G-E-L-S. She does a great – I think it's the Gnostic Gospels. She does a great job of covering everything. And so you want to go in those directions to look. And that's pretty much what Jesus was trying to tell me in dreams and things like that. And Archangel Raphael, the woman who channeled Archangel, when I had a reading with Archangel Raphael, she said that the Catholic Church has a lot of powerful rituals, but they don't tell you all the truth. She was very adamant about that.
No. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's trying to, you know, so you don't want to throw out the baby and the bathwater and all that stuff. We want to kind of sift through this and figure out what's true until we can get a shift.
And one thing I wanted to ask,
Jennifer.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. One quick thing about the Vatican. You know, there are what's called white hats within the Vatican, and there's what's called dark hats within the Vatican. So there's the black, they call it the black pope and the white pope, factions within the Vatican. So they're not all, you know, there's positive and negative. And there's actually, like, John Paul II was what I would call a white hat pope. And he did a lot of really good things for humanity, John Paul II. And I think Pope Francis is doing some good things. So, you know, I mean, he wants priests to be able to be married. I think that just came out recently. That's huge. You know, that's huge.
Right.
So, but I get it, Vanessa. We you and I have talked about this. The library is what is really, you know, needs to be opened up to humanity. I have no idea why they
don't.
It
really
does.
It really does, you know. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Jennifer, is that, you know, how you were talking about unconditional love and how we are meant to love ourselves first because, you know, really – that's where it starts, you know.
Right.
If we don't unconditionally love ourselves, we're going to be ping-ponging off of one another and, you know, having all these issues with people, you know, that we might judge and have our ego-based kind of consciousness going on. One of the things that I wanted to ask you is what would Jesus say about the power of hope? because Lilith gets a lot of credit for a lot of stuff, but, you know, one of the things that has kind of occurred to me is that, you know, people are so afraid of death and everything. And to me, that's about being love, having a strong love of life. But you have to have hope, kind of like the precursor to love to me. So I was just wondering if Jesus was coming through with anything about that right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's saying it's not just hope, but it's faith. You have to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he's saying about that. He's saying that the normal flow of life is just like an ocean. The waves roll in and the waves roll out, like high tide and low tide. And that's how life is. Okay, life is going to be high tides and low tides. Okay, and mm-hmm. not everything's going to be perfect. Okay, I don't care. He's saying, I don't care if you have the highest vibration in the world. It's just the cycles of nature. Okay, you're
right.
going to have a day when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Let's put it that way. But the testament, the challenge, the beauty in that is that you get to choose how you're going to react to what happens around you. He's saying that's the beauty of life, is even if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you stub your toe, you always have a choice in how you're going to react to it. You always have a choice of how you will respond to stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's saying that even the darkest day can be light. It's just how you react to it. It's how you react to it. It's
what did
you
say about empaths? What did you say about guidance for empaths who, you know, have such so much stimuli that comes at them? You know, sometimes it's like it's kind of hard to have that, you know, protection.
He was an empath. Yeah. And so he's saying, yes, he totally relates to that. He was also an empath and an indigo. He was one of the first indigos. So was Joan of Arc.
Wow.
So Joan of Arc and Jesus were what they call the scout. I don't know if you've heard this term. But the Indigo Scouts are the, and Martin Luther King was one, and John F. Kennedy was one. And
No wonder.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that they've said. But basically, these beings were coming in to question what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with Grace that Jesus did not take the dictatorial type of approach of his power. But he did go into the Hebrew temple and upturn the tables and say, you shouldn't be selling your wares in the temple.
In my father's house.
So Jesus did have a bit of the indigo in him, too. You know, if
mm-hmm.
he saw something that he felt was unjust, he's going to speak out about it. And that's
mm-hmm.
what indigos do. If we see something that's unjust, we say, uh-uh. No, you're not going to... You're not going to beat that animal in front of me. You're not going to beat that child. I've actually walked up to people in the grocery store and said, really? You're really going to do that right now? You know, or really, you're going to do that to that animal? Or you're not going to stop after you hit a dog with your car? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or you're going to throw trash out the window? I've stopped people and said, really? You just threw trash out the window? Does that make you feel good? You know? Like the indigos are always about the justice, you know, and he's saying that the justice. And that's why his name started with a J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, J
for justice. Is there something we can help you with?
Of it.
Yeah, actually, I would really love some clarity about my path forward. I've gone through kind of a real cleansing process recently, and I'm kind of like on the other side, and then I'm like, all right, well, what's next for me, particularly career-wise? You know, I feel like I have a purpose in mind, but I'm not really clear about the next step.
Okay.
Okay.
Vanessa, when's your birthday?
February 4th, 1972.
February 4th. 4, 1, 9, 7, 2.
Yeah, another 7.
5. Now looking at 6 and you're in a 7. Okay, right now you're in a 7 year. You know that, right? It's a 7 personal year.
Oh, 7 personal year. Okay.
Yeah, you're in a 7 personal year. So that, I guess your life path 7 and a 7 personal year?
I didn't
what?
Know this was a 7 personal year.
Well, yeah, because your February's, your same birthday as my brother has. The February 4th, it's, there's 2 and a 6, and this is a 1 universal year. So it's 2 mm-hmm. plus 4 plus 1, which makes it 7.
Okay.
So, and I guess you have a 7 life path too. I haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a real tough.
2 adds to 7.
Yeah, that's kind of really tough because not only are you having a 7 personal year, but it's a 7 life path. And it's usually a spiritual year. It can be very ungrounding. It can be very difficult. Things will pick up next
been
year
there.
During your 8 year because that's mm-hmm. when jobs and stuff like that start. But this year is, you know, kind of you're not getting called out for friends and things like that. It's kind of being by yourself and stuff. And it's more of a time to work on yourself and then to figure out what you're going to do next. That's
okay.
what I'm looking at as far as your numerology goes right now. 6-2, hold on. 1972 is a 1. Is that it? Yeah. So 29-45. So where are we now? We are – okay. Jen, I'll let you call while I'll talk while I'm sitting here working. Fiddling around the numerology.
Well, I don't think the 7 is the number of the chariot. It's a strength. So
okay.
A lot of people with a life path 7 have a lot of obstacles that they must overcome. And
no, yeah.
it's all about strength. It's about, you know, kind of getting from point A to point B. But 7 is also the number of the creator.
Yeah,
so
also
it's a very spiritual number. Very spiritual number.
29 to 38 to 47. All right, you're also an 11 pinnacle. So not only do you have a 7
wow.
personal year and you have a 7 life path, but you're an 11 pinnacle, which means that everything 11 pinnacle, this is going to be you get periods in your life, like because you're in a 7 life path, your 0 to 29 was 1 pinnacle, 29 to 38 is another pinnacle, well, 38 to 47 is another pinnacle. And in this, if you get any introductory to numerology book, you can do this yourself. Well, what
okay.
happens now is you're an 11 pinnacle, which means you kind of have all the challenges now, and you're going to have to step with this very metaphysically, because if you're in for taking care of yourself, it's going to turn into you're in a master number pinnacle right now. So it's pretty much you're going to have to choose what you're going to do. What do you want to do?
In short, do my part to save the world. Help it find its path home.
Okay. All right. Because this would kind of be
that
period.
Big.
Yeah. No. I didn't know that.
You know,
no,
it's
think that's
like, all right, Vanessa, what's phase 1 step 1A look like, sweetheart, you know?
Okay. But I would say until you're 47, you're in this period where you could be learning a lot of energy healing type work. You're extremely sensitive.
Okay.
You're very, very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and that's the empath, and they want you to develop strength now. They want you to do the energy healing right now. That's what I'm getting here. And afterwards,
okay.
you're going to be going into a 3. At 47, you're going to be going into a 3 period, which is a lucky period. Ta-da!
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very lucky period, and you've got to get over. It's kind of you're in a 1. How do I say this? You're in a 1 challenge, and the 1 challenge is. And you're going to be in a 1 challenge for the rest of your life, it looks like. Wait, Am I right here? Wait. Yeah, I'm adding, looking my addition skills and subtraction skills. Yes, you're going to be in a one challenge. And the one is being able to be on your own. That's mm-hmm. going to be the challenge, is to be on your own and be confident in yourself. So at age 47, okay. things are going to change. All right? You're going to go mm-hmm. into three, and it's going to get a bit luckier. So now I would say I see you kind of working, but keep your spirituality up. Make sure you're doing spiritual, you know, your spirituality, because you're going to be using that in the future. I'm also picking up that you're very good in mediumship. Have you done mediumship?
I have done some of that. I have not been focused on that, though.
All right. They're also telling me that
I've had a lot of noise kind of going on around me because, you know, just because of some situations and stuff like that. But,
well,
you know, I felt like it was hard for me to focus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that with the seven life path and the seven personal year and the 11 pinnacle, that is almost everything to pull you up out of your body. You know, and I think really you need to do some grounding. They're really grounding is very, very important. Being out in nature, creative expression, you know, painting, drawing, writing or whatever. That's extremely important. I think you would do well with writing, too, because and even if it's not writing books, but journaling, because that's going to give you that that connection to yourself. Also, do you know, has Jen talked to you about how to talk to your angels by writing to them? You know, where you take a candle and you say, you know, dear angels, and you explain to them the situation, and then you wait for an answer, and you have to describe the situation to them, like, you know, dear angels, creator and universe and spiritual team. You date it at the top of the page. You write down what you're feeling, and then they give you a response.
Okay.
All right. So I just see that I'm going to be able to tell you everything's up in the air right now. I can't see anything more than that. I can tell you about the numerology.
I feel that.
And I can tell you about, you know, but you're in a, and I think you're going to end up teaching about spirituality. I think in the future you will end up teaching about it. You just have a couple more years to hold out with this 11,
okay.
with this 11. At age 47, it shifts.
Okay.
So, you know,
I kind of felt like it's like, well, when am I going to be able to launch? Like, I've got so much stuff. It's like, when am I going to be able to launch? You know, it's been kind of like that way for the past couple of years. And then I had this kind of weird thing that happened in March and everything. And, you know, I had to kind of get through that. And it was a very tough time for me.
Well, as I said, 11's not an easy pinnacle to live for anybody. It's not even an easy life path to live for anybody. So you're probably getting a lot of information from above. And mm-hmm. it looks like at age 47, you're going to be able to launch.
Sweet. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's wonderful to look forward to.
But see, 47, I think it's going to be in a nine year age 47, because next year you're what, 45 now? So 46 mm-hmm. years old, you're going to be in year 8. 47 years old, you're going to be in a year 9. So you're going to be finishing things up. At 48 years old, then you're really going to start to launch. Then you're going to start something new. But right now, you're mm-hmm. just kind of gathering information and gathering mm-hmm. experiences.
Okay.
All
That's
right?
Fair.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grace.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah.
Take care, my friend.
Bye.
Take care, you guys.
Nice meeting
Thank
you.
You so much. Nice
lots
meeting
of
you.
Love
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lots of love to you guys. Bye.
Lots of love. Bye. Okay, so, we have some more time if people want to call in and things like that. So you have anything else about Jesus?
Not really. I think the main thing he wanted to talk about today is that, you know, a lot of the Christian traditions focus on the torture of the crucifixion. But that's not what he wants us to remember him by, ultimately.
Yeah,
I know. He wants us to remember his message of, yes, he died on the cross for us. Yes, he wanted to make an impression of his teachings. But ultimately, it's his teachings that he wants to live on, not the torture energy. You know, that's not what he wants us to remember about him.
Yeah, you're not going to advance at all if you're doing something because of guilt. That's even an energy thing. No, seriously, if you're doing something because, you know, you're like, well, Jesus went through this and I need to go through this. No, that doesn't kind of inspire your energy and helps it move forward. Love helps your energy move forward. The positive messages that he sent will help your energy move forward. Doing something like, I think Tim was on the line earlier, and you were talking about, you know, going in and reading the kids. Well, if that's something you love to do, then that love and that energy is going to open you up in all different places in your life. It's just going to open you, and other things are going to come in. And because you're feeling good about yourself, you're going to be more open to it. And all that love, you can feel it. It's kind of like a vortex, you know, and that love is just going to come in and through. And that's going to open you to a lot of other things in your life. It's kind of like when, you know, when you, you know, it's kind of like when you lose a lot of weight, you know, you feel really good about yourself and you haven't really changed, but all of a sudden you're feeling really good about yourself and everybody notices because you're feeling good about yourself. So I think that's one of the messages that need to be. And I know this is the Passion Week, and I know yesterday at church, they were blessing, like in the States, in Catholic Church in the States, we do palms in Philadelphia, palm trees. Down in down south of France, they do bay leaves. And here they do some kind of bush, you know, they do something. So it was the Passion. It was going through the whole thing from the time of Palm Sunday till Jesus died on the cross, you know, and it's rough. It's a lot of emotions to go through at one time.
It is rough. It's rough. It's rough. But, you know, ultimately, Jesus was resurrected.
Right.
And I really believe that's true. And
that's what Archangel Raphael said.
Yeah. His body was rejuvenated again. And he brought back, you know, the new earth at that time. And now we're in the age of Aquarius, the golden age. And now we have another ascended master assigned to this age, who is Saint Germain.
Saint Germain.
So Saint Germain is helping us to now transcend the next octave of vibration for the earth and for humanity. Now, Jesus is still very much involved, don't get me wrong, because he's one of my teachers, and I know yours too.
Yeah.
But also, you know, he's not the only one. I mean, Saint Germain is very involved. And also the angels, you know, like Metatron and Michael. And Raphael and Sandalphon and Azrael, and they're just amazing. Amazing light beings, and I'm so grateful for them. The seraphim, as well.
I want to make a point. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Every single one of us are listening to the call are light workers, and you know, even if you don't feel like, well, what's my mission out there? Your mission, part of your mission, is to hold the vibration. Don't get involved with what you're seeing. Don't let, you know, the things in politics or the fact that, you know, this happened or that's happened pull you down. Your job is to hold the vibration until you get into what direction you're supposed to be. Just by holding the vibration, you're doing work, because they just can't come in like that. We have to invite them in. And it's not them doing all the work. We have to work too, and we have to work as a group to keep that vibration high so these ascended masters and these angels can come in. You know, keep yourself grounded. Keep your prayers going. Work in groups. Archangel Raphael talked about the importance of working in groups. And, you know, work in groups to keep that energy up. And there's always going to be that, you know, you don't like this person. There's always going to be those personality clashes from past lives very like, you know, it doesn't take much to set you off. And we all have them.
You know? Yes, we do.
Like, you know, and that happens. I was laughing with my husband yesterday because I was like, cause I could see it at church. I'm like, he's part of the women in church. And don't be fooled, man. In our church, it's the women that run the church. But there's always like, she did this and he did that. And I don't care where you are, there's going to be that, you know. And then on top of the stuff, but the thing is, rise above it and keep those vibrations high. And, you know, keep those prayers going and all that stuff, because we can send a wave of love around the earth. You know, if you raise your vibrations, that is the way to raise everybody else's vibrations. So I'm really into that. Putting out crystal grids, putting in, we have, I'm ordering a Mother Mary that's going to go into the yard with roses around. Now, I was supposed to go down to Lourdes and go pick up rocks, but this is Easter week. If for as big as Lourdes is, I'm afraid it's going to be packed. So we're going up to where is it? Rouen, where Joan of Arc was, you know, we're going to pick up some rocks from where Joan of Arc was and put it around the Mother Mary when she comes in. So, I mean, all this rosary, everything is important. Keep those vibrations up.
Yeah.
And even if you don't agree with us, we are, and this could be too, I mean, you know, you might be listening to this going, oh my, this is hot. No, we're offering a perspective. You don't have to believe it. You can believe it. You don't have to believe it. We're offering a perspective here. That's all.
Yes. And if, you know, if it doesn't resonate with your belief system, you know, that's fine.
Then leave it.
And trust me, Grace and I have a similar background of being raised in the Christian church, and we get it. You know, we understand, you know, the years that we were taught things, and we're not saying that it's not true. We're just saying that this is a little different perspective. And, you know, that's all. It's just a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah.
But trust me, it didn't happen overnight for me. I had to learn from three different psychics that I was with Mary Magdalene and Jesus in that lifetime. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it at first. I said, "What? What are you talking about?" She said, "Yes, you were at their wedding." I was like, "What?" They said, "You were at your wedding and you were the nanny to their children." And I went, "What?" And I literally had to hear it from three different people before I believed it.
And a lot of people, some people don't want to open up to this, or some people don't want to do it because you, in past lives, you witnessed Jesus dying on the cross. And this brings up a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, it just brings up a lot of bad memories and things like that, because you couldn't, no, seriously, because somewhere it's still resonating in you that either, you know, you were part of the person who was doing the cross crucifying, or part of the people that were watching this. And there might be fear in opening up your mission, in doing your mission, because of, you know, what you witnessed in the past.
Yeah, I know. But see, Jesus, that's why they all left in the boat in the middle of the night. I mean, they knew that they were after them. So, you know, they were on the run. But this is the true conspiracy, or the true blessing, rather, of the whole thing. Is Jesus did live on. His legacy did live on. His DNA lived on. And many people today have the DNA of the Magdalene. So there's a reason for all of it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, there's a reason. And if you want, you know, you can always go online. I did like some of the people online did talk about the history of what was going on at the time when Jesus, you know, when Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting. And you know that if he had been a woman, it wouldn't have gone as far, because it was a patriarchal society. There was no way Jesus could come in as a woman.
I know. Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
it was no way.
It all happened in divine timing, and it all happened as it should have. just like Jesus has said, even now,
right.
It all has happened exactly as it was supposed to happen. So,
right, right.
Anyway.
So I guess I don't know if you, if everybody, I don't, we don't have any callers. Oh,
no.
I wanted to remind everybody, we are not going to be here. We're taking off Christmas, well, I mean Christmas, Easter Day, you know, jelly beans and all that stuff. So we're taking off Easter Day. And we'll be back, we'll be back the following week.
Right. So that will be the 23rd. We'll be back on the 23rd.
We probably will be doing, I know the next couple shows, one show is going to be about cults, you know, kind of what to look, be on the lookout for, you know, how to tell the difference between, everybody probably knows the difference, but when you're starting out in the spiritual world, it's kind of hard to figure it out. So one's going to be about cults. One is going to be about the Divine Mother. I don't think we covered that. So we're going to be doing the Divine Mother. I think we're going to be doing another week is going to be sacred sites around the world, you know, vortexes and sacred sites. And, I guess, you know, and that'll be about, and then we'll continue from there.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, just
all
want
right,
to say good night.
Well, happy Easter week to you. And, we'll see you soon.
All right. Happy Easter week to all of you. Love you
all
good night.
Bye.
Bye.